The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Thank you very much, Eamon. Now, pharmacists are continuing their campaign to provide minor ailment treatment in a scheme that could free up, they say, millions of GP appointments. I'm joined by Dermot Toomey, who's president of the Irish Pharmacy Union, to discuss. Morning, Dermot.
Good morning, Anton. How are you?
Dermot, I thought this had been around for decades at this point. Wasn't there a big drive for pharmaceutical care in the early 2000s as part of the whole primary care move under Mary Harney?
There has been a drive, but really what we're talking about here, Anton, is minor ailments. So to give you an example, I suppose many people go into their pharmacy on a daily basis for minor conditions. There might be things like migraine, indigestion, nausea, heartburn, that sort of condition. And really what we're looking at in this scheme is to have it equitable. In other words, it shouldn't be available to people depending on their ability of affordability. So, for example, if you have money in your pocket, you can afford to have a consultation with the pharmacist and purchase a product over the counter. What this scheme really is looking at is giving equity to the system so that a person with a medical card could have a similar consultation and get a similar product and not have to visit their GP or accident an emergency.
So what ailments are pharmacists currently allowed to treat and what would be included under your proposed scheme?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of conditions, things like, say, migraine, indigestion, nausea, constipation, diarrhea, eczema, hay fever, some antifungal conditions. There's a number of different, I think up to 40 conditions, but really what we're looking at is really what this is about, I suppose, with Sláinte Care, having the right care at the right level of complexity. So we feel that the pharmacy for these minor ailments is the place where it should happen. And really with this scheme, what we're proposing to the government and to the minister is that if it's taken on board, it would free up GP visits and potentially accident and emergency visits. So you're potentially talking 1 in 7 GP visits and between 1 in 13 and 1 in 20 accident and emergency visits could actually be dealt with at the pharmacy level.
Does it not currently happen informally? I thought people walked into their pharmacists and said, look, I have this kind of cough or I have this kind of rash. What do you think I need? They get told, well, take this and away you go.
No, absolutely. But I suppose the key tenet of this scheme is to make it equitable for those that cannot afford to purchase the products over the counter. So what we're looking at, I suppose, to give you an example, you know, if you're a medical card holder, Anton, and you're suffering with severe indigestion, you're thinking, I'm not feeling great, I'll try and get an appointment for the doctor. It might take a day or two to get the appointment. You go to the doctor, you get a prescription, and then you come to the pharmacy and you get it filled. I suppose what we're looking at is there's a good network of approximately 1,900 community pharmacists around the country. And what we're looking at is using that network so that the patient would be able to come into the pharmacy, have the consultation with the pharmacist, not need a prescription and have it dispensed or supplied under the minor ailment scheme. So therefore, you're actually freeing up the doctor's visit and you're potentially freeing up an accident and emergency visit as well.
And Dermot, without wishing to besmirch any of your members, is there to any extent a risk of a conflict of interest? Because if I go to my GP has no dog in the fight when it comes to the prescription. They prescribe based on medical need and that's it. If I go to my pharmacist, the pharmacist profits from the product getting sold to me.
To be fair, I mean, pharmacists are very professional. It's about a professional consultation. So, for example, just to give you an example, the emergency hormonal contraception, that's available on a scheme similar to this. In other words, if you have a medical card, you can present into your pharmacy. And after a consultation, the pharmacist can decide if it's appropriate to supply the product or not. I would say in my own practice, maybe 1 in 5 times, it's appropriate not to supply it for a number of reasons. So really what we're talking about, there would be appropriate checks and balances, there would be protocols in place, and there would be a certain limited number of conditions and products that would be available. So it's not about driving profit, it's about providing an equitable service available to the public where they need it in their communities. We've roughly 85% of the population live within 5 kilometres, 50% of the population live within 1 kilometre of their local pharmacy.
Is there any risk that if this succeeds, you will be a victim of that success? Because if you free up all of this capacity from GPs, primary care, A&Es, Swift Cares and all the rest of it, and put it into pharmacies, running the pharmacy is going to get challenging.
You know, look, pharmacists are busy, but really what we want to do is provide a clinical service to our patients. That's where it's at. And, you know, where we can help patients and stop them needing to go further, that's very, very important to us. Obviously, there will be cases that will need to be referred on. There will be a level of complexity that isn't suitable to be treated at the pharmacy level. But really, we want to play our part for the public at large and to be able to do it in a professional manner. In terms of busyness, that's about resourcing your staff. But ultimately, we have consultation rooms and we want to be engaged at this level of care for the public.
What's your expectation in terms of cost to the Exchequer?
So some analysis done by the IPU looked at, if you're talking potentially a saving of a million consultations a year, a million GP consultations, potential cost there to the Exchequer is 32 million. We would see potentially half of that being saved to the Exchequer. In other words, it could be provided at the lowest level of complexity. Again, if you look at accident and emergency...
No, sir, let me read between the lines, Dermot. Does that mean that you see 16 million flowing into pharmacies?
Well, it's like anything. I mean, the service would have to be paid for, but ultimately what we are looking to do is to provide a service that is appropriate for the patient at the lowest level of complexity. Again, in terms of the actual figures, they haven't been worked out or ironed out. What we're talking on is to ask the government and the minister to sit down with us and to look at this proposal.
Yes, obviously, but the first question that they're going to ask is going to be the one that says, okay, this is all well and good, sounds lovely, great idea, how much is it going to cost us? The only way that it gets a saving is if, as you put it, those 1 million visits are knocked on the head and you get a direct transference to the pharmacies. There's no guarantee that'll happen.
You know, there's no guarantee with anything in life, but it would show, it's, I suppose, like the emergency contraception, it's like other services we do in the pharmacy, flu vaccination, 25 to 30% of all patients are now vaccinated with the influenza vaccine in their pharmacy. 10 years ago, we didn't do it. So again, it's about making a service available, making it known to the public, showing how effective it is. And I suppose, Anton, if we look at data internationally, Scotland has been doing this for a number of years. A study there in 2019 showed that 90% of the population were very much in favour of it. They voted it as 10 out of 10. And so it really, what it's about, it's also been used internationally in New Zealand and also Australia. So the public are very much behind it. It's a convenience issue as well. And it's about freeing up the level of care at GP or at hospital level that can be used for more complicated cases.
You mentioned indeed, you mentioned that thing about 30% of the vaccines now flowing through your members' hands in a way that 10 years ago almost none of them don't. What do you expect as we look into this winter in terms of flu vaccinations and COVID vaccinations?
So in terms of influenza vaccines this winter, there seems to be plenty of supply, which is very good. I know last winter that was a difficulty in terms of the supply wasn't there early enough, and you know there was a lot of pressure on people to get vaccinated. But the supply looks like it's going to be quite good this year. Pharmacists are getting deliveries of vaccines this week and are gearing up to provide the service. Look, I like everyone else, I think hopefully we're moving into the next stage, and hopefully you know it looks like it's going to be more positive. The key thing with influenza vaccine is that it keeps people out of hospital. It reduces the likelihood of pneumonia. They are the key kind of tenets of it, and therefore we'd certainly be advising members of the public who have chronic conditions, you know, who are at risk, to certainly look at that, because our key message is to keep people out of hospital.
Will you get swamped though? Because if anything is going to make the vaccine popular, it's the year that we've had and all of the coverage and all of the discussion about it. So are you going to get inundated?
Look, it's been a very busy time since March 2020. Every pharmacist will tell you we've been working really hard. We've had our doors open throughout the whole time. We've done a lot of work in terms of checking people's blood pressure, you know, doing emergency prescriptions. A lot of other things have happened. But ultimately, ultimately, we're there to serve the public and to provide as good a service, a clinical service, as we can. Pharmacists, you know, have to rely on the staff that they have and the manpower. But I know of pharmacists who've been working in the evenings providing COVID vaccination services and that's to be applauded. But ultimately, we're one part of the healthcare network. Obviously, GPs will be providing the service as well. And ultimately, I suppose we want to protect as many people as we can coming into the winter.
Indeed. What of COVID boosters then?
So at the moment, it's been restricted for, you know, patients in nursing homes or patients of a certain age cohort. Certainly, there hasn't been a decision made as to whether a pharmacy will be rolling that out any further. I think one of the big issues you're probably aware of is there are other countries in the world where there aren't sufficient number of vaccines, and that That has become an issue that's played into why does one part of the world go on to booster programs when another part hasn't vaccinated their population? But look, ultimately, pharmacists are willing and able to do what is needed, to make the population safe and healthy. And as I say, we'll wait the guidance from NPHET as it comes through.
But I'm interested
but
that you say
certainly,
that the flu vaccine stocks are already in. So that means that the prospect of a 2-for-1 deal on a vaccine that carries both COVID and flu, we're not going to have that this winter.
No, I would think it's unlikely, to be fair. I mean, again, if boosters were going to be recommended, it's likely to be only for certain cohorts. But as I say, we're waiting on government decisions on that. The reality, though, is the flu vaccine is very much in play. It's arriving in pharmacies this week. And, for asking members of the public to contact their pharmacy, to be patient, because obviously, as you say, we are busy, but we get to the people who need it most, and to make appointments for that.
Dermot, one final thing before I let you go. A question just in respect of cost. Now, I know the fact that it'd be medical card related adds a whole series of different wrinkles and layers, but a text asking, Anton, ask him what the charge would be for this service through a pharmacist if the doctor's equivalent charge is €60 a visit.
So are we talking about the minor ailment?
You want somebody to have a look at that sneeze as well, Dermot. Is there anybody you know who might be able to give you some advice?
We can sort that out. We can sort that ourselves, hopefully. But in terms of the minor ailment scheme, the reality of it is it's there for medical card holders. That's what we're talking about. So in other words, these particular products that would be available over the counter anyway. So
so it's the product price rather than the visit price.
Well, for example, I suppose what I would say is we're not talking about prescription only items being available on the scheme. It's items that are already available over the counter. But what we're looking to do is make it equitable so that a medical card holder can get them supplied and dispensed in a medical card type scenario, as opposed to having to go to a GP or a tax in an emergency. Obviously, as pharmacists, we'd be very keen that more products would become available over the counter from prescription only status. And certainly that's happened with some products in the last year. There's products now for migraine that previously were prescription only, and there are some more. But certainly as pharmacists, we'd like to have more products available under proper protocols, and that we could serve and deal with the members of the public with a wider range of products would be very helpful.
Thanks, Dermot. That's Dermot Toomey, who is president of the Irish Pharmacy Union.